Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, this is Paco Romain.
And this is George Chen.
And you're listening to the Sup Doc Podcast.
This is a podcast where we bring on guests that want to talk about their favorite documentaries.
That is right. And today we're talking about Project Grizzly, a 1996 National Film Board of Canada documentary about Troy Hurtubise. I'm not even sure how to say that.
Yeah.
Hurtubise. A wonderful, interesting, eccentric man who basically gets close up with grizzly bears.
Yeah, yeah. I remember seeing this back in the day, and this is one of the funniest, weirdest movies that we could possibly cover.
Yeah.
I've been waiting to do this for a long time here on SupDoc. And so our guest for today
is comedian Deborah Robinson.
And here she will be.
And here she is, Deborah.
Hey, guys.
We're about to light some incense.
Yeah,
do you
want to
do? We can do that. We can light the incense.
Sure.
Can we? Because my cat has awful timing. My cat decided.
Did the cat just fart? Is that what happened?
No, he just took a big crap in the litter. And it's
I we've never had anyone try to light incense at the beginning of the show before, or take a shit. No, actually, we've had people take a shit.
We've lit other
Paco
things.
Paco is. I think this is actually very fitting for the documentary because Troy.
Hurtubise.
Is very like one with native culture, and so we'll light some incense, I guess.
I get the feeling too, this is your cat saying how much he enjoys our podcast.
I think just dropping a deuce,
just a big smelly
grizzly sized deuce.
right as we're doing our intro.
Oh, Mosby.
So Deb, why did you pick Project Grizzly?
The reason I picked Project Grizzly is because being from Canada, I can kind of relate to everyone that's in Project Grizzly, and especially being from Alberta, even though those guys are all from Ontario, a lot of the Alberta boys are similar in nature. And I remember watching this when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And thinking it was like the best thing I've ever seen in my life. And then later found out that this guy was, he like built suits for NASA and stuff.
Yeah, I didn't know that part.
Which is phenomenal because he comes off like a huge hoser. Yeah, totally. So it's just everything about this documentary is hilarious, inspiring. There's something calming about it. And yeah, that's why I picked it. And I'm surprised. I just feel like Paco needed to see it.
For sure.
Yeah, and I'm glad I did. George, you saw it a long time ago.
Yeah, I think on home video. So I rented it or something.
I read today that when it came out, Quentin Tarantino said it was the best film of the year of '96.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
It was a hard year for movies.
It was a tough year.
I can't remember any movie.
Get
Jerry
Shorty.
Maguire,
I think,
was not. Right.
Yeah, Jerry Maguire.
This is better than Jerry Maguire, objectively.
Oh,
objectively, I can't see Quentin Tarantino really enjoying Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
And, Deb, so you are a comedian. Tell us, like, when did you get your start?
When did I start doing comedy?
Yeah.
Well, I was in theater in high school. I was part of the after school kind of program at my high school, and I was cast in a lot of the comedic roles. I remember being kind of the class clown. A lot of my teachers, because of that, said I would not amount to anything. And here I am in Los Angeles, California.
Amounting to something.
And you have another podcast you do as
Yeah, well. I actually am just finishing up. I did a 2-year run with Steve Hernandez and Scott Lures, and our podcast, we interview comedians, and it's called Respect the Danger of Knives.
Mm-hmm. It's a great title.
But I am starting a new podcast.
Oh, okay.
With Suna Bilstead and Kathleen DeRose, called Choose Your Own Adventure. So watch out for that. We're starting at the end of August. Basically, we go around and we do a different adventure each episode around L.A.
Fun.
And stuff we've never done before, like shooting guns in the desert.
Oh.
We're going to do an escape room. We're just going to go buy a lotto ticket. I've never bought a lotto ticket before.
That'd
yeah,
be fun.
Maybe pose like in a naked art class, uh-huh. stuff like that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we're going to do research around that and have guests. So
that sounds like a real fun one.
Yeah,
it does.
Now my cat is on top of the refrigerator.
Mosley's showing off.
Eating what's ever on top of the refrigerator. Maybe a banana.
And eating on top of the refrigerator. he's just taking my hobbies and made it himself comfortable. Sup, Doc listeners. Do we have something fun for you today?
Yeah, we're doing a slightly different format than we've ever done. This is going to be more like a watch-along.
It's a watch-along.
Yeah, it's like an audio we're just going to do like a live audio commentary to the film. Now, Paco, Deborah, you've just recently rewatched the film. I have not seen it since the 90s, but it's parts of it are embedded in my brain.
What like, parts of it have
just
been
like
embedded?
Just friends hitting him in the chest with a baseball bat, him tumbling down a hill, things like that.
Yeah.
And just like always telling people about this movie and being like, you got to see this if you've never seen this. And also saying Grizzly Man every time I try to explain it to someone.
I know.
And getting confused
it's
in my
so
own head, even though I know they're not the same movie.
Grizzly Man ends, because I do the same thing. Like I say Grizzly Man and
right.
I go, oh, no, Project Grizzly.
Yeah.
How they end. Mm-hmm. Are drastically different.
Yes, they are.
Like they could not end in the most opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
you'll see and hear what we're talking about when we get through
waiting for Guffman or something.
It is
right?
like
more like
is,
that.
Waiting
yeah.
for Grizzly Man.
It's waiting for Old Man
yeah.
is what he calls the Grizzly.
Yeah. So
that's right, the Old Man.
If you are at home, which I hope you are, or driving, or actually at home, go to YouTube. And then go to the National Film Board's page.
NFB.
Yeah, just NFB.
NFB. Actually, just type in Project Grizzly, but make sure you're on the NFB page because that's what we're using. And then we're going to sync with y'all, and you can follow along and watch with us.
So, we'll do like a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 countdown.
We'll do
sound
a countdown.
Good? And then we'll just have the logo pop up. That's
yeah.
what we're going to do. All right.
So go to that. Let's give them a second. Boop, boop.
You can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
A little music, Deb?
Do, 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 do.
Yeah. Dootin' all the time.
Yeah. Get it, George. Okay, that's
Dootin'
probably
in Glendale.
Do it. And so,
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, there we go. That beautiful eye.
I kind of wish we would have done that in French.
Oh, why?
Give homage
Is this a French-Canadian film?
It's not, but, you know, are French-Canadians.
There definitely are. We're seeing
the Canadian Rockies.
Beautiful mountains. Now, you were saying something about NFT.
There's Mount Rundle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know that mountain?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's a sun. It's the universal Canadian sun.
So Troy is kind of trucking through the woods.
He is trucking. It's kind of undulating.
You know what? When I saw this, I was like, is that Patrick Swayze from Red Dawn?
Right.
And I was like, oh, no, it's just Troy.
He's kind of got a Brian Bosworth, Patrick Swayze look to him.
Yeah.
Bring him back. A lot of memories.
A lot of memories.
He's got moccasins on.
The upside down knife. Upside down knife. What is this accent?
That's the old Canadian Ontario accent there, bud.
Oh, my God.
Please tell me if my... Because I've worked really hard to get rid of my Canadian accent. And tell me if it sneaks back, okay?
Yeah, well, I don't hear it.
Okay. When you apologize to people, Deb, what do you say?
Right now I say sorry because I've been here enough, but I'm very conscious of it. Gotcha. Like, I very mentally... make sure I say A instead of O.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Because I feel like that's the one thing Canadians just can't get rid of is the Surrey.
No, I've actually...
Their apologetic nature?
Complimented me.
Yes.
Yeah, it actually drives me up the wall because when some of my Canadian friends come to visit, I'm like, stop saying sorry.
Like, well, fuck you then. I don't give a shit how you feel.
I'm going to kill you.
Who... Now, like, who wears their knife like that?
And then I hit it on the metal.
I guess Troy does. So he's talking about when he befriends a grizzly bear.
Befriends, yeah.
Yes.
And become friends with the old man, which he calls this grizzly bear that he befriended.
Because of his white face.
Have you guys ever gotten attacked by a grizzly bear or some kind of animal?
I've had a couple coyote encounters.
Really?
Which have been, I saw a coyote and then I was scared and ran away. So I don't know if that counts.
Okay.
Kind of counts.
I feel like Toby would be very dismissive of
that. Is this archival footage?
It is archival footage. No. If they got this kind of footage for this doc, I think the ending would be a lot more exciting than it was. No, this is definitely archives. It's two grizzlies fighting, for those of you.
Oh, he pulled the knife out.
Yeah.
Oh, there's two of them.
He's got both of them.
Yep.
He's got a hunting knife and a very bowing
rude.
Knife.
And a jaunty cap.
Yeah, it's a beret.
It's a jaunty beret.
Yeah, that is called a beret. A lot of poets. Oh, now they're...
That's amazing.
So if you've seen the movie Iron Man, it's a very similar concept to Iron Man.
Yeah, the suit kind of looks like Iron Man or kind of what...
NFB people, in the house!
People in like the 40s thought, oh, this is what aliens look like.
Right.
Yeah. And so this is all probably shot in like 94, 95, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Released in 96.
We're seeing the interior, chainmail.
Here's something fun. When I was... 8 years old, I had a babysitter. His name was Leaf.
Uh-huh.
And we made a chainmail vest.
Whoa.
Together. Like, we would coil around pencils.
Yeah.
And we made a whole vest together. Like, every time he would come babysit, we'd watch Madonna videos and do that. But we didn't do it for... He wanted to befriend grizzlies in a different sense. He was very gay.
He wanted
to look hot in the gay club.
He wanted to meet other bears.
Yeah.
And he was using child labor to do that.
Do you guys know all the different terminologies for the subcultures of bear? Or like the subsects of bear?
Like cubs and
like
stuff?
Cubs. Isn't and it? Otters. Have you heard of otters?
That's so cute.
Can I be an otter?
No. Could not be.
Okay.
I'm not sure what bear you would be. I feel like you're more like a Baloo the bear.
Yeah, man.
Beluga?
A
beluga.
Than a traditional bear.
What's an otter?
I don't know, but I feel like I know people that are otters. Like sort of like a bearded twink, I guess, is otter is. I might be wrong about that, and we can be. But I just like all the various... directions
now he's meditating in the meadow.
And they're pulling out bodies.
Yeah, apparently
he's got friends at least. I remember this. I remember the movie. He didn't have a lot of friends.
Guys, yeah. No. Yeah. This guy has like a whole crew of hosers. Like, just director Peter Lynch. Mm-hmm. They're showing his credit. Mm-hmm. I looked him up, and he's done a few things, but all like kind of like this.
All like,
but not as successful as the Project Grizzly.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, this is the best shot. This is the most memorable shot, I think. One of it's this is the one he's driving across. He's driving against traffic on like a forklift, yeah. And the suit is like
that's amazing
prominent.
Yeah,
and he just cascaded like the crest of the hill.
Yeah,
also I like that he's not at all. He's not a scientist.
No, he's an enthusiast.
No, he went to school. I forget where he went to or what he went. He mentions it in the doc where he went to school. He said, I went to school for 3 years, and then I studied grizzlies for like 7 years.
North Manitoba Community College.
Classic.
He does say it fairly soon. Let's turn it up here. Okay, so now they have like a...
The log test.
So basically, this is where he talks about the scientist from McGill. Like he consulted scientists from McGill about this log test.
Like, I saw Return of the Jedi and I wanted to use that test.
Yeah, I wanted to do what the Ewoks
did. It looks really comfortable.
It is like an AT-AT suit. This looks comfy to you?
It looks super comfortable, doesn't it? No, I'm being sarcastic.
It totally, yeah, it does not.
Think about the sweat mixing with the chainmail.
Oh, no. So now they have a huge...
Oh, no.
Him and his...
Don't do it.
Try.
And then they run and like pick him up.
Get him. Oh my god.
This is like the best Mythbusters
ever.
Yeah.
Now basically. They're hanging out in like some kind of like $2 diner.
Oh, the demon beard. I haven't seen one of those in a while. What do you call that beard? I call it a demon beard.
Whose?
Oh, where it's just
a chin.
I just no, it's called
a Van Dyke.
A chin strap.
No, a Van Dyke is just like a straight up like
it's called a chin strap.
Chin strap.
A hockey chin strap.
Oh no.
I like that they could have just done that without a person inside of it at all.
That's true.
And that would have been fine. The number of like concussions he's getting from just getting clobbered by logs. It's like he's gonna be brain dead by the time he meets a grizzly.
So now they're lifting the helmet
off.
Oh
shit. Oh.
How'd that one go?
Better than the first.
I love the side shave.
Yeah. That's the Brian Bosworth thing I was talking about.
Yeah. The Vanilla Ice, I guess, in 95, probably.
Yeah, the fade.
He feels good.
Yeah. So he just said his hand was asleep and now it's awake. Yeah, the doctors and physics at McMaster's.
Well, so I just completed my PhD defense at McMaster's University,
yes.
And I had answered this question. About what's the pressure of a bear swat?
And I said,
well, I've been doing this for 6 years.
I've been a log going a certain amount of speed there. Yeah. It's about 40 grizzlies swatting at you at once.
Oh, it's not. Make sure it's a pine log and not one of these other kind of these black wood logs. Ooh. A Van Dyke.
Yeah, a Van Dyke. Fu Manchu.
I see the Patrick Swayze you're talking about.
Yeah,
I see
he
that
looks
in there.
like Roadhouse Patrick Swayze.
He does.
He's got a nice chiseled chin.
I like this shot.
It's good lighting.
It's
for sure.
It's dramatic lighting. The triple effect with the shadow of the bear and the actual bear.
I will say more than any other doc, this documentary I definitely can. See where the director was going with each like setup. Like, okay, mm-hmm. We're gonna have you kneeling talking to the grizzly. Okay, go. He's talking to a grizzly in a just like a very thin chain link fence is only dividing him.
He's real into the chain. That's all we know. That's the theme of the movie is chain.
So big.
Are you familiar with the concept of aversion therapy?
Why don't they explain where he's at? Where is this, I wonder?
This is North Bay, Ontario.
No, I mean, like, is this a zoo? Or
do you really care where
this doesn't
where
look like
at?
A zoo.
It doesn't look like a zoo.
I also feel like these bears could figure out how to get out of this, this chain.
That bear is just chilling on a rock, man.
He thinks he's people.
I do love it when
the archery scene.
Okay.
That man is very serious.
Oh.
Oh.
So now,
I didn't realize it reflected.
Now they're shooting it with a gun.
Right.
They're about to. That's his buddy.
In case the bears have guns.
Yes.
That's my favorite. I think. Like, yes. If the bears have weapons.
That man was a proud. He's a proud Canadian. Look at that guy.
So this director knows that this is a goof. This director is totally treating it like it's a goof.
You think?
I think so.
I think so.
With the music cues, with the kind of like the drama of like the shading. I feel like
I love
he
the
knows
snare
it's a goof.
Drum, like in marching snare drum. So now he's taking a balloon out of the suit, and it's perfectly not popped. Okay, this is one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
Cool.
Where he talks to his mom about his childhood, and his mom has a mullet like him, and they pretty much have the same haircut.
Yeah.
Hers is definitely more poodly.
Yeah. She's got
so what they're talking about now is, like, the funniest conversation.
Let's listen to this one.
You were sitting on Uncle John's lap. He was holding your hand. You shot...
You know what they're talking about?
No, what's he shooting?
Okay, so him and his dad and his uncle are sitting around. She's making the turkey for Christmas, and she hears gunshots, and they're shooting. They're shooting up the Christmas tree, and she's talking about, you and your dad shot all the bulbs off the Christmas tree. And now they're talking about how he made a volcano, but instead of vinegar and...
Baking soda.
He used gasoline, and he lit his room on fire.
He is a scientist. Yeah. He is a scientist.
Oh yeah, he threw water on it.
Look at all those coffee cups on the table.
Do you like sitting side by side in a booth with someone?
Yes, it's.
I love it.
Yeah. Do you feel like it's a new thing for me? I'm used to being across from someone.
Oh yeah. I'd rather sit across.
With your mom? Would you sit side by side with your mom in a booth?
No. If I had to, I guess.
I don't know. I guess if I was being interviewed. You know what this suit looks like it's made of? The chain link actually looks like a metal vegetable steamer that you put in a pot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, cascades open.
Extreme mass vegetable steamer.
I think, so now he's talking, I don't think his dad is alive.
Mm-hmm.
The way he's reminiscing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I think his dad passed away. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about his first suit and how his dad just, like, ripped it apart and was like.
Oh, so there's another psychological subtext to, like, the old man.
Yeah,
if
the
you
old
were,
man.
If
exactly.
You would.
Oh,
a
right.
confrontation with the old man.
Yeah.
And can we ever build a suit to protect us from our old man?
No.
You never can.
No, there is nothing.
It's just like the plot of the 2002 Hulk movie with Eric Bana. Your father could turn into a lightning bolt.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
Well, those are pretty horses. Are those?
Now, okay, grizzly bears are...
This is really interesting.
I don't know what this is. What is this?
This is his dad's replica of a Native American city.
Okay.
Village.
Dwelling, yeah. Iroquoian or something, or I don't, it's maybe Iroquois? I don't know.
I think it pops up. The title of it pops mm-hmm. up, but they basically.
Okay. Iroquoian.
Ska-na-dote.
That's my ska band. Yeah, Ska-na-dote.
Those guys, you guys were great.
Thank you. Like,
pick it up.
We have a checkered past, yes. as they say.
Oh, Jesus.
Get out.
Get out of here now.
I'll see myself out.
Clean the litter before you go.
I will see myself out.
But do you see what they're talking about right now is that's a trap. So that
this is a trap, and they're caught in the trap.
It's like a maze of birch. So
oh, beautiful
people go
shot.
In, and then it's a trap where people get killed.
Yeah,
that's just like
no,
the.
That's what I'm saying. The shot setups are so mm-hmm. deliberate and mm-hmm. and painfully like.
I feel like we could make a tarot card deck with just this dude and like just different images. The two knives.
I think we could really make a fortune on merchandising this guy.
It's almost like when, like, you've seen Birdemic ever?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Like,
yep.
It's like that thing of like, does the guy know that he is the butt of the joke?
Yeah.
I don't think this guy does until. I think even he could watch the movie and not realize he's the butt of the joke.
Yeah.
You know what I found? The first couple times I watched this, I thought he was the butt of the joke, but the more and more I watch it, I think we, the audience, are the butt of the joke.
Whoa.
Interesting.
Because he's so smart.
Yeah, he is. Well, that's what I was saying earlier. I thought before I watched this, he was going to be kind of a dumbass, like kind of like hick. But he's really smart, and it kind of had a whole different meaning, especially seeing what his dad built. Like, his dad was an anthropologist.
Insane. It's like a whole village.
Yeah. And he talked about how his dad had no help building this, and he built it all by himself by hand. It's pretty incredible.
And it's amazing because he just talked about how his dad died. So, yeah, I guess his dad is dead.
Yeah.
And how he, before he died, he felt like he wasn't going to leave anything behind, mm-hmm. even though he made this huge village. You
right.
know?
This does have an American movie feel to it, that mm-hmm. documentary. That kind of, have you seen?
Oh, yeah.
It's like these kind of like.
Same time period, too, I think.
Yeah, same time period. And it's like these really smart guys. It's kind of DIY. You know, guys are obsessed about making something. And
it's about obsession, for sure.
Yeah.
Sort of like hubris and obsession. But that also got me thinking about this idea, like, in the 90s, late 90s is around the time, like, when there was enough of these where the person who's the subject would realize, oh, wait, you might, or like Daily Show, for example, like, I'm being taken apart right now.
Yeah.
Like, realizing that you're, like, being kind of mocked.
Right. I don't see that. I kind of don't see the mocking part.
You don't think this is mocking?
I don't, but maybe I need
think
to.
It feels very Canadian to me.
Like
I just feel like there's tons of Canadians out there. But I do agree. I kind of think it is mocking in a way. Maybe not when they first started, but.
Or do you think like it's just more like. We're going to sit back, observe, and there is humor in this that's just going to come out and not try to
like this.
Play the cards too hard.
Yeah, exactly.
That's, that's an incredible shot.
I think it's the awkward of this, the awkwardness of the suit. The suit is so
It's
awkward.
So, yeah. It's bulky. You can't really walk in it at all. It's
and
kind
it,
of what's
it
funny.
Like, shines off of any background. Any scene that suit's in is going to make it stand out.
Yeah, it totally is like.
College. I've never worked a day in my field.
Yeah, that's what he was talking about. Engineering.
Scrap metal business. That explains so much. I love that everything is compared to a grizzly bear.
Yeah.
Like
every single thing.
Oh, you know my house? It's like, you know, 40 grizzly bears big.
On the grizzly bear scale.
He just said that's his
ex-wife's
car.
Oh, like this is a clear setup. Like, okay, we want you to come through and just like rip through the scrap metal place in your truck.
Well, so is
Jacques Cousteau. A Jacquette Cousteau.
There's also this radio bit that comes up that seemed to me kind of not planned, but it seemed a little too convenient. I guess it comes up a little later.
So now he's in a city dump.
Right. And this is he encounters some black bears, right?
Yeah, he's watching black bears right now. And he's crouching around and just sitting and watching them. But then it's like there's a whole crew of like a sound guy. And
Project
like
Black
PAs
would have been not so good.
Yeah.
Or if Werner Herzog had studied.
You see the chicken special?
Oh, yeah.
Poor chickens.
This is like the coyotes in Los Feliz, though, I'm pretty sure.
That bag is it's called the No Name brand, and it's President's Choice. It's a huge brand in Canada.
This black bear doesn't seem to give a shit that he's there.
No, he doesn't.
No.
These are just like giant raccoons, basically.
Yeah. He's a pretty big bear.
No, yeah. He's got no suit for this bear.
No.
It seems like a mistake. Your two knives ain't going to do much in that situation. I like the music.
Yeah,
it's
the
cute.
Music is really good. Like, it kind of really complements.
Oh,
oh
no.
Wow. That's pretty close.
Yeah. A mini Jacques Cousteau hanging out
in
a dump. That is, you're getting what you wanted.
Yeah. My dad taught me how to shoot a rifle at our dump in the city I grew up in. We would shoot rats, though.
At rats?
Yeah.
Isn't that a Woody Allen movie?
Rats? I think he did.
Or
ants.
This is.
No. Where he,
is
they
this
mentioned
a Woody Allen movie?
No, shooting rats in a dumpster.
Oh.
I feel like Woody Allen. Yeah, if this was scripted by Woody Allen, it'd be interesting.
That coat is amazing. There's nothing like a Star Spangled.
What is this
banner?
Fast food chain? Is this a fast food chain, you know?
It's kind of, it's a donut chain called Country Style.
Okay.
And it's a little like.
Like
lower,
a Dunkin'. Lower than a Dunkin'.
Like yeah. Shittier than a Dunkin' Donuts.
But better than a Tim Hortons?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, Tim Hortons is like. Tim Hortons is way better than Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah.
I love how people that work at that diner must be so used to them just coming in. I'm like, yeah, you mind like if I leave my suit here?
My 700-pound
suit. Well, this is
suit.
Kind of what...
Oh,
like
now this is the weirdest part. It's like guitar is here.
Oh, yeah, that he's going to sing. But that's another thing where the director's like, bring your guitar,
yeah.
Like, hang
yeah.
out, sing Alberta Bound. Now, this is a very classic Canadian song that they're singing. And they're all going.
This guy in the black in the corner.
What?
Just
what,
stone-faced.
Very
stone-faced.
Important that we missed in the shot was they're all hanging out and then they slowly pan out and you see the suit like right beside the table. Like,
yeah.
I love the reveal of this suit throughout this movie.
Is that his brother?
I think it is his brother.
Oh, the 88. This is, he just looks like RoboCop a little bit in this
Urus
one. 88.
Mark IV.
Ursus. That is Urus. Latin for the bear.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ursa Major.
And Mark.
Ursa Major Bummer. Ursa.
The Mark IV wasn't that like
that's
a Chevrolet car?
Might be. I think it just means like version, right? that's the shit I remember from this movie.
Oh my God.
Like the and this would have been good if it was in Iron Man. If Iron Man had just let his friends beat him with a bat.
That one looked painful.
Yeah.
That was to the chin.
Oh, the...
Oh! The head!
To the head.
Why the head?
That had to hurt.
Oh, to the body.
Gotta be
feeling
that one in the morning.
Throws himself down a gorge.
Yeah.
An escarpment.
He went down the escarpment.
This is insane. He throws himself basically off a cliff.
With a rope.
And he's like a rag doll going down into a bush.
Oh, man.
And then there's always...
He's kind of an astronaut in a way.
Why are they kicking him?
Because he can't move.
He can't move.
He can't get himself to tumble down the thing because he's immobile.
Oh, no,
no. They're
hitting him with a car. No.
What? He is like Tony Stark, though, I gotta say.
Oh!
He is very, very much like the poor man's Tony Stark.
Yeah. It's like there's those documentaries about people that try to be superheroes. He is one, in a way. He is
I think he's more of a superhero than those people.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is a great moment, too. so now he's
sponsorship.
Talking.
He just needs sponsorship. He needs a Kickstarter. That's all he needed. It was a Kickstarter.
It looks like you get a lot of money from the scrap metal business, because one of his suits was $150,000. Oh, wait, they're at a strip club.
Look how giant.
Oh my
those
god!
Dudes
oh, I never even noticed that.
Are they?
Yeah,
I thought. Now, this is like a scene from Roadhouse.
Yeah, so it is.
This is Roadhouse.
His dad was like, "You got to make people believe that this is going
to
be a good suit. You got
to
get
big guys.
You
got to
get bikers, man.
Yeah,
big guys just beating you."
He's like a pinata.
Oh, I thought that guy was
it's,
a
oh my god.
Full of Canadian maple syrup.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's great. So in Iron Man 2, there's a clip of Troy being hit by a log in his suit. That is a reference to this film.
Oh, there is in Iron Man 2. Yeah.
Are you joking?
No, it's on the Wikipedia page.
Wow.
Yes.
And see, I think a lot more people like this.
This is a
movie.
A big
I think this
hit.
Was a cult hit. Yeah.
Amongst filmmakers and like.
It was also
weirdos.
Referenced on The Simpsons.
Oh my
god. He's claustrophobic.
God. Yeah. That's why he meditates all the time. Okay, oh now they're God. In like a log.
Some sort of wet log.
I'm afraid of
field.
Being trapped and bears, and this is what I do with my life.
Yes.
Exactly.
And it's like Moby
what
Dick, right?
What are you afraid of, George?
Heights, I'd say, is one of mine. I'm not a good height person.
Okay.
I freak out in a tall glass elevator situation.
Yeah, I think everybody's a little... I think that's a natural response.
I hate heights.
Yeah, I feel like people that... just can like go in a hot. I suppose, do you hear that hot air balloon
yeah,
thing
man.
That happened
I heard
just
about
the other
that.
Day? That's
and
like
a skydiver
nightmare
this week
of mine.
Too.
Really?
Jumper and the instructor died.
I used to
died.
Do a bit in my stand-up act about. I went on a first date on a hot air balloon. It was the worst
that sounds
idea.
Awful.
It was the worst
that
idea ever.
Because
you're trying to get to know somebody and there's just like a dad.
Well, there's
the
a guy that
kind of
looks like me with a mustache.
Exactly.
Standing behind us.
Who has a real job?
Yeah, so Paco does look like a carny.
Like,
if
you
can't imagine.
You were the middleman in that scenario. It's like, if you like this, we can do this all the time. We don't need your date here. I own this hot
but,
air balloon.
Like, I get so much. I was gonna. I think of the right word to use.
But like every 15 minutes, though, I'd be like. I really enjoyed.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like she's like, huh. It was bad. And we didn't.
I
like
thought you were
gonna
make a gas joke, like you had
this
a burrito.
This is amazing too. He's kneeling on a forklift.
But you were better than me. You're better than me.
Yeah, George. You know
oh
what?
I love his logo.
Looking,
he made his own logos
he's
too.
He's looking into the camera. Oh,
it's like he might as well have written Slayer on the logo on the suit.
It's like the Grizzly Academy, like.
$150,000.
What is that? The head part? What the hell is
that? Yeah, that's the head part. It's the torso.
I think the waist is where you got to worry, where the bear is going to try to get into your...
Yeah, but they drill him in.
Yeah.
Oh, they drill him in.
And I also want to say, I hope the people that are watching this at home, if you have your headphones on, I hope they're JLab headphones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, do you want to do a plug
right now? Get a 15% discount with our... What's our code for the discount? It says on the Slack...
Wow, the sponsor must be really happy right now. That's quite a plug, fellas.
You know that would make what Iron Man should have in his suit is JLab earbuds. Support us on Kickstarter and Patreon, so we can
like
build
doing
our own
a plug
podcast
and coughing halfway through it.
George, are the 15% off code SUPDOC?
SUPDOC, exactly. The most it could be more complicated, but it's SUPDOC. You get 50% off.
SUPDOC. That's
JLab. JLab. Oh, God damn it! I'm so bad at this.
JLabAudio.com.
From the bear that close in.
National Film Board, nfb.edu.
So he's wearing a turtleneck, a short sleeve turtleneck, which
I think is
pretty awesome.
That is also.
And it's white.
Like, unless you're in, like, Sisters with the Voices, why would you have that?
Yeah. So now he's talking about all the different layers. Like, his suit is like a 7-layer dip, man.
Oh. I also feel like. The paint job has nothing to do with camouflage.
No.
Has nothing to do with...
Matter of fact, it's very bright.
It's very bright.
I've never seen a short sleeve turtleneck, I don't think.
Yeah.
Well, at least I've never seen one look so good.
Maybe a sleeveless turtleneck?
I'm glad
if you were in an R&B group?
Yeah. I'm glad he's wearing an undershirt. I was like...
Yeah.
What if he was just nude in there, just like... chainmail and ball smells mixed together.
So nasty.
This does have a feel like a Coen Brothers movie feel to it. Like the Coens wrote this.
Oh, that low handheld camera that's coming up right there.
And this song.
Yeah.
The whistling.
I can see that.
Oh, I love this shot too. So he's in a drive-in movie.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Theater. And he's standing, he's kind of shuffling along, and what's RoboCop
is it
playing,
RoboCop?
And then Perfect. He stops exactly when RoboCop appears in the screen.
Whoa.
And it's like this moment that happens.
Oh,
he's walking
wow.
through the yes. door, and he stops, and it's so great.
That's
so
intentional.
And he's still leaving the movie theater. He's been there all night walking.
And he's been there for so long, the drive-in no longer exists.
This is another great thing. Yeah, they're in an abandoned building, and he knocks over cedar blocks. This is great. Like, oh, I'm a tough guy. Like, this kind of decisions the director makes, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
No.
Bravo, Peter Lynch.
Yeah. Bravo, Mr. Lynch. Bravo. And Mr.
Is
Lynch.
Is that a magnet on the side?
I wonder if
it's
he's
black box.
Related
he's black
to
box.
Director David Lynch.
Yeah, exactly. Or David Cronenberg. It seems more another Canadian favorite.
Yeah. So now they're standing around. What are
no
they talking
grizzlies
about?
Yet. I haven't seen a grizzly yet.
Well, no. You know, they have archived footage of the grizzly, but...
Do you think it should be pronounced project grizzly? Like he's projecting his psychological issues onto the grizzly?
Sure.
He for sure is. Oh, now he's with his little kid.
Oh, have they gotten to his relationship yet? Or his, like...
I don't think they introduce his wife at all.
You never see his wife in
this. No, you only
hear her.
She's
like, don't put me in the movie.
And, I mean, later on when he ends up feeding his kid to a grizzly bear, it's like, well, no wonder. Oh, spoiler alert.
They just show his mom,
Canadians
though.
Do love
food.
Like camping barbecue action.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So where you grew up, was it more suburban or rural, or what is your town?
I'd say it was suburban.
Suburban.
Yeah.
But you would do a lot of campouts?
Well, that's, basically every summer. Now he's standing in a bonfire. Oh, this is another great...
You need that to fight to encounter a
it's
bear?
It's these little things that the director chooses to do.
Yeah.
That are amazing.
Arson bear.
So, so this is cool because they take off. What's about to happen is his butt. He's in the suit. He can't do anything. His buddy just lit a cigarette with a friggin' blowtorch, man.
Okay.
And they're throwing gasoline on the huge bonfire in the background.
My God. Oh,
yeah. Throwing gasoline.
And you think he's smart?
I do.
And they're so close to the bonfire.
These are people. These are the exact kind of people I grew up with.
They're so keen to like help the crew and director out.
Right,
they're so willing to do whatever.
Yeah.
You just know the director's like, oh, the director wants a bonfire. Let's give him a bonfire, man.
Throwing
this
gasoline.
Is gonna look so cool, like a big, huge ball of.
Oh my God. This is also reminding me of Making a Murderer, like, a little bit.
Yeah.
I can see that.
That's Teresa Halbach's burn pit that's behind
them. Oh, no. And if you want to learn more about Making a Murderer, listen to episode 23 with comedian Red Scott.
There's something so sweet about it.
Look at that. That shot
they're
is amazing.
All just dudes like... Hey, we're just hanging out. We're just doing our thing. You know, like, this is what we do.
Right.
We want to do whatever you want to do, director.
It's like Entourage. He's like the star.
It's true.
And they're just like his. Like he's the one that's doing the work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's that singular focus kind of dedication stuff that is pretty amazing.
Like
it's
something tells me those guys don't have projects that he helps with.
He is
no, they
by
don't.
Far
he
the smartest friend they have.
The guy.
Yeah. Oh, this is the
scene.
Oh
yeah, where he hears about a grizzly, and then he turns up the volume and starts making notes about the grizzly attack.
Just happens to be like, look at his acting right here.
Fingerless.
He's gonna write on his gloves.
Yeah.
Well, there's not a lot of other traffic on the road. No. I think
it's just this part to me. Is the one that really rang false to him. I was like, that seems really convenient to have the cameras rolling.
Oh, he's like the Batman of grizzly bears.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. There's a lot of bear attacks in Canada. This is like.
Are we still
talking
about gay men?
No.
Okay.
They don't attack.
No. Is that his knife in the foreground? Yeah, it is.
Oh, I thought it was like a...
Oh, I never noticed that before.
I thought it was like a crossbow. Yeah.
No, that's his knife off probably the other sun visor.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Don't destroy the cub.
Well, now you got a mission, sir. Yeah.
Nice sunglasses.
Dude.
Oh, man.
Wrap around.
The Matrix.
Oh, he's getting past.
I almost feel like I would love to see, like a Kenny Powers version of this.
Holy shit.
Like, it's reminding me so much of Danny McBride.
Oh, that would be so amazing.
That would be amazing. Vice Principals is really good. I really like
it. I watched the first one, not in love with it yet, but, yeah. Like...
I just love
having
McBride.
Walt Goggins and Danny McBride hunting a grizzly together would be a good subplot.
He's great,
Let's write that spec script.
Let's do it. Danny McBride, I know you're listening. You love this podcast.
Boyd Crowder, I know you're listening, and... want to say white power.
Now they're
that's just a
we're not going to reply
reference.
To we're not going to respond to that.
Banff.
We're just going to let you sit in it.
You guys don't like yelling white power during podcasts?
Not this one. Your other one, George.
I mean, I like that movie about that kid with the white fit powder.
Yeah. Your other podcast, What the Nazi? Look at him ride that.
Oh, you know what? We do see a grizzly in this movie. He
does
appear.
Oh, look at that.
Or she. I don't know.
Apparently, he's been bankrupt a couple times as well.
When do you catch yourself like realizing you've said grizzly man when you're describing this movie to someone? They're like, what? I saw that movie. And like, they're like... I don't remember that part of the movie.
Like,
oh, I'm talking about Project Grizzly.
You know what happens? The opposite. They're talking about grizzly man... And then I chime in and go, oh, my God, isn't that the fucking funniest shit you've ever seen? I look like such a fucking psychopath.
Never listen to this tape. Promise me one thing. You'll never listen to this tape. And here's this drunk party. Oh, these guys are... Oh, boy.
I'm going to be moving along the trail that's along this
Day
tree
one
line on this large blonde...
Of the Expedition Scout.
I bet. Have you been to Banff?
I lived in Lake Louise, Alberta. Right out of high school, I worked at the ski resort.
Oh.
And I've been to Banff at least 100 times.
Oh, wow.
They have a huge, like, art center residency there.
They do, and they do, this huge... Reading conference there every summer, and you have to like apply to get in. It's really intense. It's
looks
it's
very
like
beautiful.
Applying for like AFI kind of thing, and elk attacks are very prevalent in Banff because the elk are just hanging out in the town, and a lot of like Japanese tourists and like German tourists. They're like, oh, they're so docile. And they'll go up and try to, like, get on the elk.
Oh,
well,
Jesus.
How big are the elk?
They're giant.
Huge.
They're 7 feet tall.
Really? Oh, geez.
But they're just hanging out eating grass. And then
people try to ride them?
People try to, like, get on them for pictures.
Wow.
And get trampled to death.
I have seen
and
an
impaled.
Elk in Michigan, northern Michigan, and heard it. Scream or whatever the fuck they do. It's like this crazy trumpet noise. It is it's just like that. Actually, people listening at home, we do not have an elk in the living room.
Wow.
That is George Chen.
Please hire me for voiceover work for your elk videos.
George, do your dinosaur. It's just almost like your elk. Oh, that's pretty good. Is that Woody Allen? No. What
parade
is that?
Now they're talking about what's gonna go down if he gets in trouble with a grizzly.
All right.
And they all have guns, but they don't have bullets. They have like sound.
Oh right, it's
just
more
to scare. I forget what it's called.
Like blanks, basically.
Yeah, it's a certain like. It's called something to do with sound. Because the key is they just don't want to hurt
the bear.
Right. The bear or any of the wildlife.
Or there's
wildlife.
A cub, too, right? Yeah.
Well, this is a different... That's a different not situation. Necessarily not necessarily is going to...
That guy back there looks like fun.
Yeah.
You know he's got a flask.
Real hoot.
He's got a flask on him. Look at how he looks. It's amazing.
Uncle John. Oh, so it's all family? That's his family?
So this is close to where they filmed Brokeback Mountain.
Oh. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. Here we go.
Now they're playing chess,
nope.
Which
green
is amazing.
Red. Yeah. This movie's got everything.
Yes, it does.
It's got a chess game.
Yeah.
It's got a knife and a lock.
Oh, I see you've played Knifey Spoonie before.
Also, a very confusing chessboard. It's yeah. all black.
Yeah, that is. That is very confusing. I bet he lights his cigarette. Yeah.
Yep. He's lighting his cigarette off of a hot log.
Yeah, he is.
He just These pulled a log from the fire.
Well, have you ever lit anything off a hot log, Deb?
I think your cat lit a hot log.
No, but I do play with fire a lot.
Nice.
Not, but Whoa. When you're camping, you kind of naturally start playing with fire.
Yeah, you kick shit around. You nothing.
Yeah, you know, like I've put like what you can do is you can fill up a party cup, like those red party cups, with water, and it'll stay in the fire, but it won't melt. It'll Whoa. Only melt to the point of water.
No way.
And the party cup will not melt.
You mean the solo cup? The red solo cup?
Yeah.
What?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What kind of magic is this? Is this only in Canada?
No, do it next time you're around
right
a fire. Fill it up with water and put it in the fire.
Yeah.
It'll only melt to the point of the water.
Wow. That is very cool.
I think I might have been a little bit of a pyromaniac.
I was. I've lit... like toys on fire, lit skis on fire,
okay.
like put
well,
boots on and lit skis on fire.
Wow.
I wasn't on a ski hill. I was in a garage.
I don't remember.
Do you like burning plastic as a smell? Do you like
no.
it? No.
Get off on
that's,
that.
I definitely don't like burning plastic as a
no,
smell.
No, that's
My
a horrible smell.
My choice of fuel was usually WD-40.
WD-40.
Or hairspray.
When,
like,
when's
have you
the,
ever
when's
lit
the, how,
your hand on fire?
No.
You spray hairspray on your hand, and then you light it on fire?
Oh, no. Isn't...
And we'll it doesn't
it.
Burn
When we're
your...
done recording, I'll light my
yeah,
hand
okay,
on fire.
Yeah, okay, we'll do it.
We're going to have to get a picture of that.
Okay.
This guy's talking about grenades.
Yeah. He's talking about a game he played in Nam called Outrun the Grenade.
Oh, Jesus.
So you...
Canada? I thought Canadians weren't in Nam.
Maybe he's American.
Yeah, yeah.
You're assuming things.
I am assuming a lot.
Stop assuming.
No, I'm here for the grizzly. I'm here for...
This is our... Actually, folks, this is our second NFB Canadian documentary interview of the week.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
We're real Canadian.
Did you know about the NFB before this?
Just from looking... Some from watching that film, looking at the website, I didn't know about it as like a...
Like a week ago, did you know about
no,
the NFB?
No, I didn't think about the NFB at all. I didn't know about it.
Okay, this
day
is day two.
It's field tested.
It's very pretty. I do respect that he doesn't want to hurt the bear.
Yeah, he's a conversationist.
He doesn't want to disturb anything. He's really...
Conservationist.
A man.
If he had a time machine, he would not step on a butterfly and change the course of history or anything.
I don't think he believes in that.
Time, no. So I bet the guy who's going to build the time machine is just like this dude, though. He's like a redneck.
Yeah,
and
you're
redneck
right.
is building a time machine.
Yeah. Scrap metal guy. Just seeing like a car implode, he's like, wait, I can do that with linear jumps in time.
Yeah.
I can just fold it in half and
Gigawatts.
Crush it.
Yeah, he figured it out. He just watched Stranger Things and figured it
yeah.
out.
Yeah, wait a second.
I got a lot of plates I could fold.
One
now
of my...
he's doing Tai Chi in his long johns.
I love white men Tai Chi-ing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
He's doing pretty fast.
This
yeah,
is...
he's doing pretty fast.
This is.
Is he wearing any shoes? Of
no,
any,
or he
socks?
Is straight going.
He
for,
looks like he's about to do like interpretive dance.
Yeah,
like
he is.
Shitty.
That will stop a
theater.
Bear. Interpretive
yeah,
dance.
Definitely.
Like a one man show will stop a bear.
Yes, it'll stop a lot of things like fun, enjoyment. Now he's just getting centered. Oh boy.
Yeah.
He's got a cane. Very Clockwork Orange-ish.
Yeah, actually, that is very Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
It's
the cod piece. He's got a cod piece.
A bit of the Maluko. He did say that he said his only complaint about this documentary is that the filmmakers didn't show 5 minutes of science behind it. Not even 5 minutes of science.
Of the science,
oh,
I see.
Of the science, yeah.
I see.
Drop in knowledge.
And then one bear behavioral expert after watching this doc said, we would never use a suit like that. Just a solid knowledge of baby bear behavior is the best thing you can use.
So basically anybody that knows about bears and the behavioral, you know,
aspects
of bears are basically crazy. Because that person sounds insane, too.
Yeah? Why?
I don't know. Just like, it's a silly statement, I think.
Right on.
Bear science.
Bear science? You just need to know about bear science, is basically what that person said.
You can say his thing.
I don't know much about biology. I don't know anything about biology. I know absolutely nothing about bears.
What animal do you know the most about, George?
Vampires. I feel like
you know a lot about vampires.
I probably know more about know more about how to kill. Oh shit! We had a roach issue. We had like the water bugs.
Water bugs are
those
a nice
giant
way.
Thing.
Yeah.
So I did a bit of reading about that. They attack people.
What?
Not happy about that.
Ooh.
Again, yeah, the coyote. Everyone seems to be very blasé about the coyotes around here. But I'm like, they're coming down because they ran out of food in the wild, or their habitat's been destroyed or something. So there's like,
do you know that for a fact?
Why coyotes are coming down?
Yeah.
I assume that's what it is. I mean, why do you think they'd be coming down?
I think coyotes are coming down because, like raccoons, they're very...
opportunists?
Yeah, and adaptable. Like, they adapt easily. And
they're also...
Like pigeons as well. Like, they're very smart, like, animals.
Mm-hmm. Well, and conservation... You used to be able to hunt coyotes, and they stopped that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that brought the numbers back, too. Mm-hmm. So there's more coyotes, and you're right. They're garbage eaters.
There were three coyote attacks on humans, like, in the last month. And one was a homeless guy digging through garbage was attacked by a coyote.
Oh, no.
There was a child attacked by a coyote.
Oh, geez.
There was an old woman attacked by a coyote. So I'm not afraid of, like, maybe your standard coyote, but... Rabies, I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
Rabies is real fucked
up. So a homeless person, a baby, and an old woman.
Mm-hmm.
What are coyotes, Republicans?
Probably. They do. Coyotes help immigrants across the border, though, so that's...
Oh, no. Yeah, that's right. That's true. Oh, no, he fell.
So now they're just discovering that the terrain in the Rocky Mountains...
can't even get them up.
...is too difficult for the suit.
Yeah. What is that giant red thing on the side that, like...
It looks like it's for a camera or a cannon.
Oh, that's maybe where they put the camera.
Oh.
And it protects the camera from getting destroyed.
Oh. But also makes you lean to the left.
Yeah, it looks heavy.
Yeah,
it has a lens.
Yeah, that's a camera. Canon.
It's a camera.
Canon camera.
These are what's cool here. Ooh, baby.
You need to find a path. You can't just dump this
on
a slope.
Yeah, that's the one thing I was a little disappointed in Troy about is you've done all this research.
Right.
On the suit, but you're not doing any research on the terrain that you're going to.
Right.
And therefore, the project is pointless.
It's like throwing him in on a Segway or something out into that terrain. You wouldn't be able to get very far.
No.
Also, give a bear a Segway. I'd love to see that.
That would be amazing.
It's almost like when you go travel and you pack all your bags and you do all of that, and then you get to the destination and you're like, oh, shit, this is a hot...
Right, I brought winter clothes to Florida.
Why did I bring winter clothes to Florida?
Yeah.
It's like you basically research all these restaurants for you and your friends to eat at.
Yeah.
And then your friends arrive, they're like, I don't eat meat. And then you're at a meat restaurant. It's like, just kidding.
It's like rain.
It's like Yelp ratings on Bear Terrain.
Uh-oh. Weather.
The music has gotten eerie.
Yep, we got weather.
Okay, he's clearly been on a bender the night before.
Yeah.
He's like wiping his face with snow. He looks so hungover.
He does look hungover.
And now he's going to go shave his face with his Boeing knife.
Oh, that's
his
right.
His giant Rambo knife.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He does look like he's been...
Looks like shit. Like
tore
he's
up
totally
from the floor up.
Like, that chess game, man. Took a lot out of him.
Exactly.
They played strip chess. Now he's...
What's your most... What's been your guys' real encounters with bears? Have you had any encounters with a bear? Like, even a zoo bear?
I did. I had one. I had a little family walk through our campsite once.
That's cute.
In Michigan?
Yeah, in Upper Peninsula. We went camping. A mom and some cubs walked through our campsite to go to this water. And that was scary because it's a mom and her cubs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to mess with that.
No.
I've only encountered them from the safety of a vehicle, and they've been on like the side of the road in this area, like in Alberta.
Okay.
Oh, right, around here.
But Kodiak or brown bear?
Just a little brown bear.
Uh huh.
No, I've never encountered grizzly before.
No, that would be crazy.
I think they kind of just steer clear.
In grizzly,
unless you're German, apparently.
That's the paper.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
German dude just sitting in the hospital. Now this is a very popular.
The Sun, the Calgary Sun.
Yeah, just the Sun. There's the Toronto Sun, the Calgary Sun, the Edmonton Sun, and they have these. I don't know if they have them anymore because of women's liberation, but.
Oh, like page twos or something.
No, they don't have page twos. What they have is they're called the Sun Girls.
Mm.
And it was a very prestigious thing to become a Sun Girl.
Oh, I'm sure.
And basically, it's just like a little bio of who you are, and you're in a bikini.
That Greg grew up, Miss Asparagus was a big deal.
Hmm?
Miss Asparagus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. These girls would become Miss Asparagus out of high school in the parade. I grew up in a small town.
A big asparagus town.
Yeah. It's Michigan. There's
like
a lot of
the Sun Girls are probably also are waitresses at like Hooters or like a sports bar.
Oh, like that's what they get promoted to after they've been a Sun Girl. Or is there anywhere to go from being a Sun Girl? Can you go up?
It's just bragging rights, I think.
Just bragging rights.
Well, that's a weird. That was a weird shot with the shooting.
It's very Morricone spaghetti western kind of sound going on here.
I can see why Quentin liked this movie.
Why?
Long snow shots. Like,
long,
just like Hateful Hate.
Wide snow shots and like the humor that's in it. It's kind of dark. There's a lot of humor. Uma Thurman, it's weird she shows up near the end.
That is very strange.
Maybe him, Troy, doing meditation and Tai Chi was like, you know what? I'm going to write Kill Bill.
Yeah.
I can see why. Because he liked this and another movie that came out that year, he liked Hard Boiled as well. That came out in 96, I believe, as well. Maybe 97.
Is that a Hong Kong movie, Hard Boiled?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's
Chow Yun
pretty
Fat.
Obsessed with...
Chow Yun-Fat.
What is that?
I think it's elk.
Elk carcass?
Yeah, that bear's been eaten on.
Oh, that might be... Is that the horse, the wild horse that died? No. It looks so small, though. But it is covered in snow.
Yeah, he doesn't like this. Troy does not like this one bit. And I don't blame him. And what he says is pretty smart. He's like...
What does he say?
Well, he's talking about how... He's talking about their territory, for one. He's also saying, like, scientists always say bears have, like, a 100-mile territory. And he's like, it depends on the territory and the bear.
Yeah.
And now he's saying bears are just like humans. They have shitty days and good days. And we don't want to be around here much longer.
Yeah, just think he's having
a bad day.
And then he does a bear imitation.
All right.
It's like he befriended five guys that know nothing about bears.
Right, yeah.
And never even heard of a bear before. And he's like, here's the thing
it's
about bears.
It's just his poker buddies.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, okay.
Well, there's also a camera there. I feel like he's doing a little, like, doing a little mansplaining for the camera.
With that funky-ass jacket. These guys are basically the Doobie Brothers.
Do you think there are any females on the crew?
No.
The documentary crew? It's like pretty much just dudes in this documentary.
Pretty dominated.
Apart from his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure the crew is probably all dudes as well.
Yeah. So this is another thing. Like, this just seems like found footage that they just put in here.
I don't think is. This is, I think, their footage.
Do you think this is their footage?
Yeah.
I don't remember them coming out with the horse. Oh,
yeah,
man.
They saddled up horses about 10 minutes ago.
They need to build a suit for the horse.
That's true.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. It's like, yeah, but what about all the crew and the horse?
That's like all those like jousting horse outfits.
They talk about jousting in this movie, too.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They talk about how it's not the...
It's not the hit.
The hit. It's falling off the horse that killed them.
Like break their neck or something. Yeah. Yeah.
Basically, everything is stupid. This is stupid. Jousting's stupid.
Horses are cool, though. Oh, he's talking about it. Yeah, his love of knives.
Did you guys watch The Revenant?
Yeah.
No.
It was good.
That was also
filmed
in this
area. Did he have a real bear fight? Or he had a trained bear?
I think it was a trained bear.
It was CGI or was it a trained bear?
No, it was a trained bear.
I think it was probably elements of both, I would think.
Yeah.
No one's trained a grizzly bear, right? It's just a black bear that they've trained?
Oh, interesting.
No, grizzlies.
I don't know.
They've trained grizzlies.
Yeah, they've trained. There's one famous grizzly that was in Dr. Dolittle and also a Will Ferrell movie.
Oh, you know what?
Man,
who is also... I think in The Revenant.
We got to do Blackfish,
too.
He's
the grizzly that you get.
Yeah, like the one guy, the one trainer who's like, no, I've got insurance. It's cool. It'll work out. You can put Leonardo DiCaprio in front of this.
Yeah.
There was a famous Polish bear in World War II that they trained named Wojtek, and they would strap ammunition on the bear and... arsenal and food, and he would go and help and bring bullets and ammunition to the soldiers in the behind enemy line, and he would World War II, and he would scare everybody.
Yeah,
and so he was such a part of their army that their patch now is a grizzly bear. The Polish military's patch is a grizzly bear, and then after the war, the bear retired to a zoo in Ireland. And his comrades in the Polish military would come visit him. And when they did, he would
recognize them.
He would drink beer with them.
Yeah.
And he would eat cigarettes. He liked to eat cigarettes so that he would recognize them and he would chill with them.
Wojtek,
yeah.
Oh, man.
Isn't that cool?
That is a good story.
Yeah.
How did you know about that?
There's got to be an indie band named Wojtek.
You didn't even have to look that up.
Because I just made it up.
No.
There's got to be an indie band named Wojtek.
There's got to be.
John Wojtek.
Well, I knew it because I was at one time wrote a screenplay about Wojtek.
About Wojtek?
Yeah.
Wow. I was thinking of like this video I saw. It's a very depressing video that my friend took from China of like a public kind of circus thing. Of like a black bear riding a bicycle, looking so scared.
Yeah,
just like frightened and like just like oh my! It's like this could. It's
I love
so
this
sad.
Shot, by the way. This is one of my favorite shots.
It's a good one.
Damn snow coming down like it is. It hasn't stopped all day long.
It's just so perfect.
The suit is in a pine tree, and they're walking up the trail. The suit's always kind of nearby.
It is, but never really used.
Yeah, it's like
the
suit in this movie is like how Woody Allen uses Manhattan. Like it's a whole character in itself.
It's like it withstood fire, but how is it with snow?
How is
Canada?
It with just like unlevel ground? Not so good.
Oh, the story.
Oh, now it's talking about old man.
Yeah.
this documentary is a real test. Like, I bring this documentary out when I first start dating someone to see if it's going to be successful.
It's a litmus test?
Yeah, I did it with Henry.
Your boys?
He really liked it.
Henry
did?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you test your old man.
You mean your boyfriend Henry Phillips that has a new special out called Neither Here Nor There?
Yes. That's right.
Available on iTunes.
Available on Vimeo. You can rent it for $3.99 or buy it for
$7.99. Comfortably listen to it with a pair of JLab headphones.
Exactly. This apartment on East Acacia. No, I'm
kidding. It's so funny. We're talking over like the most exciting part of the day. Him fighting a bear.
That's right. You're right.
You know what I'll be fighting?
Diarrhea.
The urge not to listen to, or the urge to listen to, Henry Phillips' special, which is on audibles.com.
My old man is Henry Phillips.
If you
want to
watch it, yeah.
So what's your old man do? Fighting the urge.
Oh my God, he just jumped in. Oh my God. It's like a little kid
He's
telling
like Buster
a story,
Keaton.
Man. He's pinned.
He's pinned on the ground.
He's like, do I play dead at this point?
The old man. At least he's super honest.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
There's no hubris. Like,
no, I would have shit my pants in this situation.
That's what he says, though. He says he shit his pants and he peed his pants.
Is that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
No, I totally would.
I think he was saying it metaphorically.
No, I feel like right now I just did, hearing about this.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to have to light more incense.
Light some incense, yeah.
Infraction.
Yeah, he catches the infraction.
The Judge Bear.
Judge Bear. Like, dude, that's
order in my court.
There is definitely going to be a Judge Bear at some point.
This is the best line of the movie. I love how he says that's a fact. After he threats to sodomize the bear with his knife.
As sure as God made little green
I'm
apples.
I'm going to shove these up your ass, and that's a fact.
So folksy.
For the ass knifing.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Menace men. Psychologist. Dream animal.
The social workers.
The doctors from McGill.
Do you think they're filming this from the suit?
Mm. Might as well get some use out of that suit.
Ugh.
It is like just seeing like who do you have like a boogeyman of your own boogeyman like of your own making like just a nemesis like
right.
a archetypal thing right. that you just like are focused
the
on
the white whale
yeah
general
well, like
male,
Mark Maron you know for me
yeah.
but I don't
yeah
just general male population
I was like when he was talking about knifing the bear in the ass I'm like isn't that a Chatterbox poster
yeah the knife dick.
Yeah,
that's a deep cut for only five people.
That is a deep cut. That is a comedy show in Covina, California.
Yeah, a year and a half year old reference.
I love my 2014 references.
You drop them. So they got one. They see a bear.
Do you guys think if this was an American crew, American documentary,
made in 1996,
what would be different about it? Do you think anything would be different about it?
I think there'd be a lot of differences.
I guess it would be called a grizzly man too.
Yeah.
Well, it'd probably be, what would this be, like Colorado or Montana or something, probably?
Yeah,
I do feel like that's what's interesting about this movie. There's some like weird Canadianisms in here, I think.
Like,
I mean,
what?
I can't put my finger on it. I mean, well, obviously, like, weird things like a donut chain I've never heard of, but just I think the type of person this is a different type of person in America a little bit. It's not the same, like, rural hunter dude, right? There's like a slight variation, but I
feel like it'd be kind of the same. It's, the only big difference, I think, would be conservationist versus someone who wants to kill a bear.
Well, you know, yeah, like, right. They probably, bear. Yeah. The Americans would like be like, and then there's all these spikes that will pop out. And also, like, he wouldn't have five friends. He would just be
a
loner.
Just be doing
he'd be a guy doing it all by himself.
That is true.
And then he'd call the bears Muslim. And then he'd, right. You know.
Oh, there he is. Look how big that bear is. Jeez.
It's a pretty big bear. Now he's upset because the suit is nowhere near where he is,
his
I guess.
His suit is 10 miles up the mountain for some weird reason. But they show him talking about wanting to move the suit up.
Yeah. He chose to move
the suit
up. I
love this little move.
Up.
Look at this guy. He's like, get out of here, stupid bird. Get out of here.
This is like a crow.
Get out of here. My territory. Is that a dried out creek bed?
Yeah.
What is that?
Fate laughing at him.
Have any of you guys ever had like a really scary encounter? Like a bear being 2 feet from you or
An animal
or
encounter.
Anything? I don't know.
Any animal encounter?
Jeez.
Or
I'm trying to think.
Like a dog or a pissed off cat.
Yeah, I was attacked by Cocker Spaniel once when I was 7, but he didn't really do any damage.
Spaniels are kind of mean.
They are. They're bitches.
Yeah.
They're like little mean.
Oh, what is a little cat? Hey.
Like poodles. Poodles are little mean
little
ass.
Poodles.
Little dog.
Big poodles aren't mean.
And the like horse poodles. In the distance.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, no. What's he eating?
I think that's the dead wild horse.
Oh.
I think I can't. Like, I've never had, like, a raccoon charge me or anything like that.
I've been charged by geese.
Oh,
yeah.
Geese
are mean.
Yeah, they're assholes.
Yeah, I got nipped by a goose once.
I'm trying to think what I've... I don't like insects, I think, is where it would go for me. I'd just be like...
That's it.
I think I cat sat in a place where they're like, watch out for the brown recluses. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Wow.
Like, they had brown recluses, spider? Like, in their wood pile, yeah.
Ooh.
I'm like, do I really want to sublet this?
Yeah. Not when there's poisonous spiders.
Mm-mm.
Look at that. That's beautiful. I'm talking about his coat, not the mountain range.
Yeah.
I do like in England. I saw some foxes, like they're just like raccoons over there. But I'm like, oh, it's a
really
cute little fox.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, you're just digging through trash like a raccoon. Oh.
All right.
That's
so now
it.
The epilogue is basically
Lori. Yeah.
He still lives in North Bay and
Joe
is Hurtubes. Working on his next suit.
And apparently, what I read, he's 50 years old now, and he's tried to sell prototypes of this suit on eBay. He's been bankrupt a couple times, and now he claims that he can cure cancer.
So this is like, he's like 30s,
wow.
Early 30s over here?
That would be,
when
yeah.
He shot this.
Wow, so young.
Actually, probably late 20, I mean, he's 50 now. And
so
that was 20 years ago.
Years
yeah,
ago?
30.
Yeah, 30. Yeah.
Carolyn.
That's held up well. I feel like this movie
it has,
has
yeah.
held up well for a lot of
yeah,
things from the 90s don't hold
it.
Up well.
That
you
is
true.
You
haven't seen it in a while.
No.
Were there any surprises that you forgot about?
Well, I didn't remember and all also, the other friends
that he
Johnny had.
Is that Johnny Cash singing?
It sounded like it.
No, it's not.
I don't think it is. It's probably his friend in the star-spangled coat. But, Deborah, thank you so much for bringing this to our attention. This was great.
Yeah.
I'm glad you liked it. Are you guys ready to watch Grizzly in HD from 1976?
Yes, that classic.
What about Grizzly River Grizzly?
Yeah, we could see that from Nature's Beauty.
The previews up.
I like that I'm petting a cat
YouTube.
Right now.
That's what
you are.
Aw, that lover.
Hey, him.
Little love him. I really liked this movie a lot. I think I watched it a couple times back in the day, and so there were some scenes that were definitely still with me, like all the smash cuts of like the different versions of the suit.
Yeah,
and I forget how slow it does get. Really, it's kind of slow in places, but it's just like you're right. It's like more like the Waiting for Guffman or something. It's like he doesn't get to like do the encounter.
No.
It's that if an American movie was gonna, be
it would end
this,
in the account. It would be the encounter.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
I think
it would
be
exactly the same except for the drama at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and that's what Grizzly Man. So, like, what I would suggest is people watch this and then they watch Grizzly Man after it to get that fix.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Exactly.
You know.
The thing about Grizzly Man, I was thinking, like, you know, he could have just researched, like, the foxes, and he would have been fine, right?
Yes.
He could have just, like, focused on something else.
Right.
He didn't. Well, that dude is a whole other story.
That
Do
is
you
a
think whole that's other a mental illness?
Yeah, I think that dude has some
obsessive compulsive.
I don't think this guy, I don't think Troy has a mental illness.
I
think he is just an obsessive dude.
Yeah.
But, in the other case, there was this thing where he has some psychological things he's working out with that bear, for sure.
Yes.
I'm convinced that there's something there. But with the other dude in Grizzly Man, I think it's just, like, way a lot of projection that's, like...
I've never seen Grizzly Man before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I don't want to get into it too deep, then.
When I picture the guy in Grizzly Man, I picture, like, what a guy would look like lining up at Central Casting. Like, that's the kind of dude I picture. Like,
yeah, I think he was an actor too.
He was. He auditioned for Cheers.
Treadwell. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exactly what I pictured.
He auditioned
like a Mally map, but just kind of like a guy,
a California
who
idiot.
Wears like, you know, tearaways and you know,
Is
kind of lonely in a way.
Yes.
And
that's really him. He's real lonely.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Ugh.
Yeah.
We didn't need to get too deep into that one right now.
So, Deb, tell us, tell our listeners where they can find you online.
You can follow me on Instagram at Deborah Etta and on Twitter at Deborah_Etta. And you can check out my show at the Hollywood Improv once a month. It's called Happy Contest Time. Mm. It's a show where stand-ups do stand-up, and then they're judged by my Japanese friends.
That's wonderful.
What day of the month is that?
It varies. Like, just check out the website.
Okay.
It's usually
Hollywood
on
Improv.
A Saturday.
And I think Millie's now shitting.
Yeah. Now my other cat, Top and Tail, they're like, beginning of the movie, Mosby's going to take a shit. End of the movie, Millie's going to take
shit. These guys are obviously L.A. cats. Mm-hmm. They know entertainment.
They know hot entertainment.
Thanks, Deb.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on the show.
You can find episodes of SupDoc on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Please subscribe, review, and rate.
For show notes or more information about George and Paco's appearances, visit supdocpodcast.com. You can send your corrections, questions, or comments to supdocpodcast@gmail.com.
We'd also like to thank Documentary News for their continued support. Please check out documentarynews.com.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @supdocpodcast.
This show is produced by Will Scovel and our theme music by David Siegel.